Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
It's been a week since we heard that. I hate that song. That means Alex Tyshirt is back on the ones and twos.
He's been gone like a month.
I know. It's like he's gone because he got to go to Colin's show. I got to work on Colin's show. I'm sorry. I got to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go work on Colin's show. But now he's back. Everybody's back. The Olympics are rolling. We're feeling pretty good.
Not too bad. You had Victor Robles had a praying mantis on his hat while he played the outfield. I mean, there's lots of craziness going on. Oh, and that whole NBA free agency thing.
Yeah, it is one of those nights as we have a big load of Olympic stuff to bring to you. Obviously, we have the United States basketball team playing in a couple of hours, which is going to be awesome on in our window here on the show. But in addition to that going on, clearly, hey, today was a day where we saw without a shadow of a doubt the Knicks are going to the Eastern Conference Finals this year, baby. Whoa, the Knicks are bringing everybody back. They got Evan Fournier. Here come the Knicks, man.
Bulls have better guard play. You're in trouble now, pal.
Woo, I'm excited. But listen, hey, I have a pretty good track record of predicting who's going to the Eastern Conference Finals. When I say the Knicks are going, the Knicks are going.
Yeah, but over the course of a season, don't you normally pick 10 of the teams?
No, stop. That is fake news. You are fake news. That is not,
maybe 12?
That is not true at all.
I forget.
No, that is not true.
I think you picked everybody but the Bulls this year.
No. Well, and you know what? Hey, I got to say, I was going to say nice things about the Bulls, but now blank you. How about that?
No, that's a good way to start a Monday.
Good.
I would expect nothing less from you as the backcourt of Ball and Caruso is reunited. And it feels, whoa, so good.
Hey, now, before we get to all the big free agency stuff from tonight, yes, the Bulls bring in Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso. Okay, Lonzo Ball, I like. Alex Caruso, I don't know what Twitter is going to do late at night because every time he played for the Lakers, Alex Caruso was the number one trending topic in the world, and it passed understanding why. Now I don't know what's going to happen late at night. I don't know what people are going to tweet about late at night during the winter months now when the Lakers are by. Then there's no Alex Caruso. Maybe they're going to tweet about Ellington and Dwight Howard, but it's not going to be Caruso anymore. That's the big thing, Mike. That's a huge void in our social media lives.
Well, you know, you and I will just have to fill that void with lots of hot take theater and nightly nonsense. I mean, there's no question about it. But yeah, the Caruso, I think, is actually a pretty big loss for them in terms of the process, not just for our content purposes. Educational and defensively, he's a bulldog. So, you know, in Chicago, they'll be happy to have him. He'll become a fan favorite immediately.
Look, and I'm on board. I mean, I know it sounds crazy because of all the stuff I've said about Lonzo Ball the past few years. Yeah, I get it. But I got to give the guy credit, right? He's going to the Bulls for $85 million. I love this move by Chicago, all right? I like what he has done. Getting out of L.A. was the best thing for him. He had to realize that, okay, I'm in New Orleans. No one is coming to my rescue. I got to fight my way out of this and get to a destination where I really want to go. And that turned out to be the best thing for him because he was made a star before he earned it in Los Angeles, right? When you have your introductory press conference and it's, hey, I expect your jersey to be hanging from the rafters and LeVar Ball is going to say whatever the hell he wants to because I got a huge asset here, it was made to fail. All right, Lonzo with the Lakers was made to fail because he was made a star before he earned it. And anybody that happens to, they have a very short shelf life. And I thought, okay, here goes Lonzo. He might be out of the league in like 3 or 4 years. But I give the guy a ton of credit because he's done everything he needed to do to improve. Right? He worked on his jump shot to now it looks really good. He's changed it. He knew I have to do this to succeed and stay in the league and be a star. And he did it. All the stuff we say, well, Ben Simmons, is he really going to do this? I don't know if Ben Simmons can do it. Oh, you got to trade Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons says he's going to dedicate himself to getting better and better. I know Lonzo Ball has done it. All right, because you see him in his workout videos now, and he's a completely different player when you talk about his shooting, his range, where he can hit from, when he came into the league a couple of years ago. This was a big deal for him, and I got to give credit to guys that say, I know what I need to do. I need to improve. I'm doing it. He was never someone that made you see, hey, look at what I'm doing. Look at all these videos. Look, I'm doing. No, he went out and said, I need to do this. I need to change my shooting stroke and be able to get the ball off more. I need to be able to hit some threes. I was really terrible in the bubble. I need to do something different. And he came back, and he was terrific. And I give him a lot of credit for that. So much so that if the Knicks signed him, I wasn't going to be upset. I mean, now, if I know the Knicks are going to sign him, I'm not upset. I'm going to be pretty happy about that. So, no, I'm telling you the truth about Lonzo Ball, buddy.
No, exactly. I mean, the biggest loss is that the Pelicans get nothing, you know, out of the deal. He just walks.
Well, that's free agency. Right?
You know, in terms of, you know, any kind of true value, right? Sign and trade, I get it, but you're not getting back any assets that are pushing you up the Western Conference. Let's just call it what it is. But when we look at Lonzo Ball, still a lot of room to work on his shooting. Remember, he's only going to be 24 years old at the end of October, right? Late October birthday, 14.6 a game, 4.8 rebounds a game, almost 6 assists, and obviously they were put the ball in Zion Williamson's hands a lot and missed time. That's the one thing that you just kind of circle is, all right, is he going to be able to get through a season, right? 55 games this last year and go all the way through his career. But working to improve his jump shot, still at 41%, still room for improvement there, is willing to take a three. I'll take that over what you have with Ben Simmons. And yes, Simmons is a better defender, but Ball's gotten pretty good in that regard. So I think all in, you know, it's a big step forward for the Bulls is the try, right? That's all you ask out of your marketplace. And I speak as a Chicagoan, transplanted here to Los Angeles. Like, you just want your team to be active and actually look like they're trying to strive towards a goal as opposed to running in place. Right, because you can move things around and move pieces around and spend money, but you could spend money terribly. At this point, Lonzo Ball looks like he's still got a higher ceiling to reach. So perhaps this will be the next stop. And again, Bulls fans are looking for somebody to embrace. So bringing in these two guards today is a big move.
Awesome move. Love it, love it, love it. Love it, love it, love it for the Bulls. You're Bulls, buddy. I dig that about you. I dig that about you. Now, Zach LaVine, let's see him. But I love what they did today. A couple of really big moves there. And Lonzo, like I said, not many guys can do that. Not many guys will say, I need to get in the gym and do it. They will rely on their basketball acumen up until now. They'll rely on their athleticism and think, I'm just not being dealt with the right way. No, he knew what he had to do, and he went and did it. And that was awesome. Now, listen, it's still going to be a ways for you to go looking up to the top of the Eastern Conference where the Knicks are going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals next year. Okay?
Look at you.
Yeah.
But go get that wager in now, buddy.
This is a bittersweet time for me right now, yeah. All right? Because, listen, okay. I'll tell you everything about the Knicks. This is going to be the best year for the Knicks of the Tom Thibodeau era. Right? That's both good and bad. Well, okay, great. Because after this year, this is what happens with Thibodeau. We talked about it, that after a few years, he winds up grading on the team, and they have to figure out a way to move on. And I always said to you, what did I say to you? I'll figure that out after 3 years when we're in the playoffs a couple of times. Hey, first year was great. We were in the playoffs. It was awesome. Right. This is going to be the big year for the Knicks. Because after this, it's going to be, how do we keep this going? It's such a mental drain and strain to be able to have to exist every single night on defense and playing that kind of effort defensively in the regular season to win games. But this is the year for it because they have had great success. They fell short in the playoffs. Now let's fill a hole, which they did. Look, they brought back Derrick Rose today, right? They brought back Nerlens Noel today. They brought back Alec Burks. They signed Evan Fournier, who's going to be huge for them. He's exactly what they need, a guy that can score from the outside and take the shooting onus off of Derrick Rose a little bit and off of Julius Randle. They needed somebody to be able to make shots like that. They weren't going to get a star because that's not what this team is made for. Tom Thibodeau is not going to bring in a star that he's going to fight with, right? His biggest star is going to be someone that's going to buy into what he's doing, which is why a guy like Julius Randle, that's as big a star as the Knicks are going to have while Tom Thibodeau is coaching because he made Randle a star. So, of course, Randle is beholden to him. You bring in somebody like Damian Lillard or a big star. Hey, I'd have been excited doing backflips, but if something happens and it's Damian Lillard versus Tom Thibodeau, well, who's going to win that battle? And things are going to fall fall apart. So Thibodeau is very much this is my domain kind of guy. And anytime someone he has been at odds with, Jimmy Butler, anytime he's been at odds with somebody, there has been some kind of very public divorce. So they weren't going to ever go get a really big player. They needed to go get something big like Evan Fournier and bring back the core of this team. And they brought back the right players. Going to be less minutes now for Derrick Rose. It'll be, you know, Fournier will eat into those minutes a little bit. And they brought back guys that are fitting into this system really well. And to go from 41 wins now, it's going to be a 50-win team next year. This is the Knicks' year. This is it. Eastern Conference Finals for them. This is their best year. Because then after this year, it's another year at Thibodeau. And then it's, okay, it's a lot of defense. It's a lot of this. It's a lot of just too much. And I need to move on. And that's when things get a little crazy. But this is going to be the big year for the Knicks. And I am there for their 2022 Eastern Conference Finals banner that they're going to be able to hang at the end of this season.
You're so excited. Obviously, we're looking at what the Miami Heat have done. I've got this long list of giant dollar amounts. Just, you know, makes me tear up a little bit to see the flow of cash like this, Smith. Let me tell you, I love merchandising and selling, and obviously commerce is so important to what we do here on the show. Yeah, it's great box score reading, but let's call it what it is. It's all dollars and cents and money moving around and plenty of it flowing. So the Heat are interesting. The Bulls, make your moves. But for your New York Knicks, yeah, the time is now. Right, you brought back all your key contributors, and you're hoping that it wasn't a short-term resurgence for Derrick Rose, right? That there's still more there, that Julius Randle can get past what was an awful, awful playoff series. Can we just say that? Can I say that one more time? Awful playoff series. But bringing in reinforcements. And you got guys, it just remains to be seen how long the Thibodeau mentality and that approach works. You got enough young guys that I think will still buy into it. Guys that are still trying to prove themselves, both as veterans, Derrick Rose, who he's got a relationship going on all these years, and your guy, Julius Randle. Again, he's got more to prove, right? Great year last year. That's great. That's step one. Go back and do it again. Become consistent. And Emmanuel Quickly and all these guys, you've got room to grow in the Eastern Conference. You were fourth, and you just cobbled together a squad and had to have guys buy in. Yeah, it was a pretty good run. I'm curious to see part two and whether April in a regular season, you know, of the extra 10 games, whether that's enough for the off the cliff because now you're tired. We'll see, because they don't have any load management guys there, Smith. You needed one of those guys that were going to take a couple of days off, let the kids play, whatever else. No. Now it's 30, 36, 40 hard minutes a night. So let's see what you got.
I'm all right. This year, I'm just worried about this. This will be the glorious year of the Knicks.
You're funny.
Then things will start to fall apart. But this is going to be it. This Fournier is exactly what they need. He's exactly what they need.
He's just so
buddy.
Funny.
Oh, it's awesome.
Hey, I'm getting 1 year and then it's going to hell.
Yeah, that's good. Right. Hey, but I'll take that. It's okay. Give me one great year. And even if it's not the NBA, it's the East Finals, I can walk around going, go New York, go New York, go.
Are you going to go jump on cars like they did making it to the first round this last year?
Oh, are you kidding? We're going to, as soon as the opening tip comes, I'm going to jump on top of a car and scream. I might cut it in half with a chainsaw like in any given Sunday. Right down the middle, I might do that.
Yeah, you could jump on a rock, see, you know, with that heavy breath like Franco Colombo in Conan the Barbarian. Yeah, that's right. It was Franco Colombo, Arnold's buddy.
Here come the Knicks, yo. Conference Finals. But, buddy, I love Lonzo Ball. Look, what the Heat did, we'll get to that coming up in a bit because that was a really big deal today. Look, teams are being smart in free agency. Some are just spending money like, hey, if I don't spend it, it's going to go like my dad when he gets like $20. Oh, I got to go. I got to spend this.
Government's going to take it. I got to get rid of it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smiths with Mike Harmon. We'll have more on that coming up. Finding the perfect hire can feel like searching for a needle in a bottomless haystack of resumes, like the Knicks finding the right head coach. Indeed makes hiring fast and simple with 135 skills tests to help candidates prove they have the experience your job requires. Their powerful hiring platform even helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right on their site, which is probably why Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. To learn more about finding your next great hire, visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com /credit. So while NBA free agency is in rage, we'll bring you the updates as we hit them. Coming up next, a big injury in the National Football League. Is one Super Bowl contender season over before it started? It's coming up next with Jason Lockenfora right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hang on, I got to put my leg warmers on. Hang on. There we get them on. There we get them on. All right, they're on. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Sure you NBA didn't have them on your forearms?
No, I wouldn't do that. I would. No, come on, I can't put on my forearms. Although, maybe it might keep my forearms warm. Forearm warmers. Oh, that's an idea.
I think that's been done. Like, I'm recognizing that from like a TV show or a movie.
Is that like 6 minute abs? Like 7 minute abs?
Something about Mary?
6 minute abs. Welcome inside hour one, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. We have more NBA on the way, but a big day in the National Football League. We could be on the cusp of a huge trade to maybe bring back two players who, no way, they want to play with each other. Carson Wentz going to have surgery on his foot. He is out 5 to 12 weeks. What happens now for a team that, hey, I had him ticketed for the AFC Championship. Can they still get there? Joining us now on the hotline, CBS Sports NFL Insider extraordinaire. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That is the aforementioned Jason Lockenfora. What's happening, Jay?
Just watching the Orioles and a feral cat take it to the Yankees, man. Life is good.
I'll tell you, you need feral cats all the time.
Did you guys see that cat?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good-looking cat.
Dude, I'm not a cat guy. I'm not anti-cat, but I'm a dog person, and I'm allergic as hell to cats. But that was a pretty cat. That was an athletic cat. The leaps, the ups, balancing himself like on the home run fence, like that was pretty impressive performance. Much better than the Yankees. Not that I'm complaining.
If someone said to you, you know, at the end of last year, say, hey, your two best performers of the year are going to be Matt Harvey and a feral cat, what would you have said?
Well, no, I'm not taking – I would put that cat on the – I mean, this is the Bronx, so that's a Yankees cat. That's you know, or maybe he's a Midtown cat who got on the wrong train and ended up in the Bronx, or a Queens cat who thought he was going to a Mets game and found out it was the Yankees. I can't take credit for – you know what I mean? I can't take credit for that cat, nor can the Orioles. The Orioles actually played high-grade professional baseball tonight. I think it's Brian Cashman might want to sign the cat. We're good.
Mm. All right, so what about the Colts? What do they have to do? Who do they have to sign? They're going to go get
Nick
Foles?
They might want to sign the cat, too. Could be a bidding war.
Can he throw? That's all.
Probably.
If
you saw this cat, you would say this cat could do anything.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a do-it-all cat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a five-tool cat. look, they're not going to do anything in Indianapolis right away. I mean, I reached out to some people there, and, you know, let me know if you've heard this one before, but shades of Jared Stidham. They want to see Jacob Eason. You know, they feel like he might be all right. And you know what? When you draft these kids and you bring them in, you tend to think that. So I don't anticipate any transactions the next few weeks. We get through a preseason game or so, you know, so what are we looking at? Another couple of weeks of practice and then that game. If they're not feeling great about it, then they go do something. I know everyone's saying Foles, and I get it, but they don't need a stiff, brittle quarterback. You know, like that they just went through that, you know, with Rivers. I don't think that's how they want the offense to evolve. I think a guy like Gardner Minshew would make a lot of sense. There's people in that organization who think, you know, are a little intrigued by Gardner Minshew. He's played some pretty good games against the Colts in the past. He can run around, move the pocket, do some things that can help diversify that offense a little bit. And he's a lot cheaper than Foles, and he's younger with upside. But Foles is obviously a possibility, and we'll see what happens. 5 to 12 weeks is a new one for me. I don't know about you guys. That is a wide spectrum. I mean, that's basically a 2 month spectrum. I don't think it's going to be five. I'll tell you that much. I think this cat's missing a couple months, and I think what you also better figure into that is he's only had a few real practices there. right? It's not like this happened after 3 weeks of camp and a couple of preseason games. He just started getting going from a conditioning standpoint, from a acclimation standpoint. I know he's played with Frank Reich before, but he hasn't played in this exact system with these players before. It's not like he's going to come back, practice once, and they're going to, you know what I mean? And, oh, okay, well, he was there for the Friday practice, and now he's going to play. There's going to be a process on the other end of this. So I suspect it's closer to November at the earliest when we actually see him, because it's not just a health thing here. There's more going on.
So he doesn't get dealt, but we continue with speculation down in the planet Houston. And it's the weekly check-in of the barometer here, because more and more chatter out of Philadelphia and just trying to figure out, you know, how this proceeds.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, again, there's a lot of people who will tell you, well, he's an elite quarterback, so, you know, consequences be damned. You just go get him.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure that it works quite that way when you're talking about the volume of allegations he's facing. And now one of the alleged victims has come forward and you know, done a pretty graphic interview. I don't know, guys. I mean, you're talking about a criminal investigation, a civil investigation, and I know the league has clarified its position and said we don't have enough evidence at this point to even put, you know, to change his status, to even put him on the commissioner's exempt list. But here's the dirty little secret in all that. They also know he's not going to be forward-facing anytime soon. He's their alleged number four quarterback right now. You think you're going to see him in a preseason game? Newsflash, you're not. You know, I don't even know if he'll dress. So it's kind of like a hold-in that's going on right now that's indefinite. So it's not like they're going to be featuring him in their first preseason game. I bet he doesn't even dress. And so that buys everyone another 6 weeks or whatever until the season starts to see what else comes out, to see what developments there are, and then ultimately to see if the NFL changes its position on his current availability and playing status.
Jason Lock and Four with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, so other quarterback conversation, and one that clearly is going to be a conversation throughout the season. Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Vikings, the latest head coach to talk about how upset he is at the lack of players getting vaccinated on his team and worried about a big COVID-19 interruption. Look, Kirk Cousins, Kellen Mond, Nate Stanley, all on the reserve list on Sunday. They only had one quarterback available for their practice Saturday evening. That was Fran Tarkenton, so it was really difficult. Now we saw it from Ron Rivera. Now we're seeing it from Mike Zimmer. The players are still kind of dug in like Cole Beasley. How does this unfold, Jay? Because we're just going to keep seeing upset coaches and players on COVID and players saying, I don't want to get the vaccine.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think if you thought that we could play this season and not have COVID be a part of sort of the narrative or the subplot or be a weekly part of the fabric of football, you're naive, because it is a daily, hourly part of the fabric of life in this country and around the world still. And, you know, we're not going to have 100% vaccinations. It's pretty obvious. And some of these guys, if they haven't seen enough to this point to make them do it, I don't think, you know, whatever that percentage is, 3%, 5%, 6%, whatever they get to, do they get to 94, do they get to 95, they're not getting to 100% vaccinated. That's pretty clear. And it can be transmitted even, obviously, among those who have been vaccinated, although, you know, they're, I hate having to pretend I'm a scientist, whatever, we know that they are, the risk of you ending up in a hospital or being seriously ill is basically nil. But it doesn't mean that you don't necessarily pass it to someone who's not vaccinated. And if you have a plurality, more than one unvaccinated player at a certain position group, we also know the consequences of them being close contacts or them testing positive could potentially have them miss two games, if not more. So that's the world we're living in. And I don't think between whatever the hell now is, August the 2nd and, you know, September the 18th, we're going to all of a sudden see every guy in this league say, I'm just going to go get this shot. That's not going to be the case, which means we're going to be playing a football season in which COVID is going to play some role. Is it going to keep a game from being played? I mean, I it didn't last year. You would like to think, damn, we actually have a vaccine now. Why would it possibly make that be the case this year? But it certainly could make a team have to play a game under great duress from a roster standpoint if there is a segment of that team that isn't nearly as close to 100% as you would like.
Last one from me, Jason. All right, as we do every day, and I know Smith lives and dies from the practice reports of Zach Wilson's completion percentage.
That's a tough way to go, man. You got it worse than that cat.
Well, I also like the fact that in your answer talking about Carson Wentz, you referred to him as a cat. At one point, but
did I? That was completely
it was really well done.
I guess I'll take credit and or blame for it. However you fall, you fall on the calling people cats spectrum.
I thought it was brilliant words.
You were impressed. Okay,
yeah, no,
you are easily impressed, but that's good.
No, hey, you know what? I celebrate the entire catalog. But when we go forward on a day to day basis, how much attention do you pay to this stuff?
To COVID.
No. To the, like, the this guy struggling in this drill or whatever.
Oh,
how much do you make of any of that?
No. Yeah, no. I mean, I am never one to celebrate exhibition football, but it serves a purpose. It's a means to an end, and it allows you to make more cogent evaluations than you can make when it's the ones against the threes and the twos against the fours and all that stuff, and especially the quarterback position, where they know at the end of the day, no matter what happens, nobody's touching them, nobody's breathing on them, nobody's falling on them. However many practices they have or in-house scrimmages they have. So, yeah, I mean, we live in a world where everything is accessible immediately, and then you're going to get your statistical breakdown of what this guy did in 7-on-7s and 11-on-11s. Sure, you want it to look more good than bad from a fan standpoint, but most of these teams haven't even put full pads on yet. You know, I mean, the Steelers have done it a couple times, but the Steelers and the Cowboys went to camp a week before everybody else because of Hall of Fame game. So the real stuff hasn't even started yet in, you know, most of the league.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfour. That is at Jason Lockenfour. He is a five-tool cat of his own. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the Orioles game.
Oh, it's over. We already won.
It's a final. I mean, you had the cat.
You got breaking news animation.
Yeah, I mean, you had that, and then you had the praying mantis in the Nationals game. At least he attended because there were no fans. So, I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
Win
go,
number 38.
Go cats.
There we go. Take it easy, buddy.
See you, buddy.
There goes Jason Lockenfour. Great stuff there. And, you know, I'll tell you, he really sheds a light into what is going to happen this season. And, we, you know, we had a point last year with COVID, obviously, where we were playing games Tuesday afternoon at noon, which is like, okay, it's what we're doing. We're playing Tuesday at noon. It's good. The league is not going to be as forgiving this year, especially if it's a fact that, well, here's the vaccine. The NFL is making everybody that works for them get the vaccine.
Right,
okay, that was a big headline today.
Yeah.
This is not teams. Anybody that works for the National Football League, they are making them get the vaccine. If this doesn't tell you what their attitude's going to be when there's positive COVID tests, nothing will. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get something like what happened with the Vikings happening during the season. We had it last year with the Broncos for a game. Hey, all our quarterbacks are COVID. Can we push the game? And the NFL is going to say, nope, we're playing it Sunday. Players should have got the vaccine. You should have got your players to get the vaccine. We're pushing players. That's what's going to happen. And if that happens a couple of times, then they're hoping that that's going to push players to all want to get the vaccine. Because in the end, once you get one team have to sacrifice something because of positive COVID tests, you're going to get a bunch of guys want to get it, right? Because right now, Cole Beasley and everybody else that's anti-vaccine is going to say, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. But once something happens and a team loses a game or loses two games because, hey, the receiver room, nobody can play because we had COVID because one guy didn't have the vaccine. We had a non-vaccinated player wind up with COVID. Then guess what? That's exactly what's going to happen. The NFL is going to say, you got to play. And all those players are going to go, sorry, I'm going to get the vaccine now, guys. I'm really sorry that I potentially derailed our season because I didn't want to get the vaccine. So that's how the NFL is going to do it. They're going to say, you got to play it. And they're going to hope that after like maybe once the rest of the teams, rest of the players go, okay, I get it. We'll get the vaccine. And then we're moving on to something else. We'll get to 85% vaccinations and the league can go on from there.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, like, look, everybody out there, wherever you're listening, appreciate you being part of the family. But think, you know, about your own lives. Something drastic normally has to happen for you to make any substantive changes, whether it be to your diet, exercise programs, how you're, watching and monitoring how your kids are on the internet or how much TV they're consuming or how they're doing in their schoolwork, whatever. There's usually got to be some moment to push for change. And you would have thought last year there was enough disruption, even though no games were canceled, that there'd be some recognition. And just by the 6 degrees of separation, if you haven't been touched by this stuff at this point, then God bless you. You're in a very select few, right? Whether it's someone you know, the 6 degrees of separation out to some celebrity that you follow in television or movies or whatever. Like there's just so much of it that, and so much information to be consumed that the dismissiveness of it, you know, when we talk about, you know, that's my family and whatever else, it just, like Mike Zimmer put it, you know, it just baffles him, right? It frustrates him, enrages him. Between he and Ron Rivera, you've got two rants to start your season. You have a short window in the National Football League, you know, leaving things to chance when you already take a lot of other risks. And that's the other part of the NFL, right? We know you take a lot of risk. You also take a lot of risk with, hey, what's the long-term effect of this that you're injecting me with to get me back on the field? Well, we've got some studies, but you take it, right, to get back out on the field. This kind of has some of those same reachings, I think, as you go forward. So be curious to see, you know, how many more teams get to the acceptable threshold that the NFL has laid out.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Trust me, that's what the NFL is hoping. That's the strategy they'll take to go into this season as far as it goes with COVID. Right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And for the New York Yankees, well, they lose tonight to the Orioles. They find out, even though Gerrit Cole was scheduled to pitch tomorrow night, he will not, as he has tested positive for COVID-19. This story is only a few minutes old, so now he's going to be out for a while as the Yankees try to stay in this race here in the American League. Now their best pitcher is going to be out and probably miss at least one turn through the rotation, probably two, depending on how severe a case he has. The Yankees, who will go into tomorrow night, 7 games back in the AL East. However, you ready, Mike, for my hottest take of the year? This is a pretty hot take, man.
I can't wait.
This is pretty hot.
I mean, I've been waiting. Like, we've had some good spicy ones. I know today the prevalent take was, all right, as the landscape in the NBA shifts, let's talk about this team will win... .. if they're healthy. Come on. Really? That's what we're doing that already?
Sure.
If they're healthy. All right, you got a bunch of 37 and 38-year-old guys running around as your core, or guys that haven't been able to finish a season since I was a kid. And now you're talking about, hey, let's go and let's run it back. And, well, if they're healthy, it's like, come on, we can't do that.
This is the first time you've been able to say this in probably, ooh, I don't know, 15 years?
I'm going to say. I think I know where you're going.
Maybe 15 years you haven't been able to say this. You can say this now. United States men's soccer is in better shape than women's soccer.
Ooh.
Men's soccer better than women's soccer because.
Yeah, that deserves the dumpster fire. There's no question about that.
That's a hot take, right? Now, look, I told you, look, when you were out on Friday doing the show with Steve, we talked about enjoying this last run for the women's soccer team.
Oh, yeah, we've done that a couple of weeks ago, yeah, just kind of teased it, looking at the roster and how many more runs could they get, right?
Yeah, because look, they've looked old the entire look. They were eliminated today by Canada, 1-0 in the semifinals. They've looked old the entire tournament. They have not been in shape, and when you get old all at once. And there's nothing you can say this entire tournament where isn't, boy, you needed younger players. You need to get to that next generation, because you could say, well, we weren't in shape. Well, what about that first game? You know what? The first game against Sweden, when you didn't even look like you should have been on the same field.
Oh, no, no. They did not compete in that game. That game could have gotten out of hand.
You get old overnight. You got a lot of players that are in their early to mid to late 30s, right? Whether it's Megan Rapinoe or Carly Lloyd, Alex Morgan, Tobin Heath, Kristen Press, all of these players are all in their early to mid 30s. And you saw clearly they couldn't keep up with the other teams. They couldn't keep up with Netherlands, and they were lucky to win that game. You know, you're talking about a 0-0 tie against a team they should have beat 6-0. This is it. This is the last run. You're going to see a big sea change, and it's going to be weird because we've watched these women play for a long time. Like, we feel like we know them all. We know Megan Rapinoe and Alex Morgan. It's been such a great time, but all runs come to an end, and that's it. And you look at the men with our C team, basically, beating Mexico's A team to win the Gold Cup. I mean, United States, all our great players are all 22, 23 years old, man. I mean, this is when it's all coming for us, man. Pulisic, McKinney, Dest, Reyna, Adams, all these guys are all 20, 21, 22, 23 years old. We are going to be really good. We're going to breeze through qualifying for this World Cup, and then we're going to be a real force to potentially win it all in 2026. I'm telling you, this is the era of U.S. men's soccer we've been waiting for. All our best players are in their early 20s. They're all good. They're all playing at high levels across the globe. Men's soccer in the United States, better shape than women's soccer right now because of where both programs are. Men are on the way up. You saw that. Not even with our best players. We win the Gold Cup. Best women's players for a long time looked like they didn't belong in the Olympics, and now you're going to see a big change. You're going to wave goodbye to a lot of those players.
Yeah, and I think it'll be like shark's teeth, and I think you'll have the next round of players that'll be ready to go. So I'm not expecting any significant drop-off. Yes, the offensive lack of production was glaring and disconcerting in many levels. Like, even they got off to a pretty active start against Canada, but couldn't finish. And then you had the crossbar at, you know, 86 minutes after the penalty at 73. So difficult loss. I do like the optimism on the men's side. Long time coming. We've certainly talked to many guys who've been, you know, at the forefront of the growth of the game. And I think you just made a lot of new fans and friends with that hot take.
I'm telling you. Well, watch out. We'll be a threat to win it all in 2026.
Go buy some right McKinney rookie cards now.
Men in bed. Couldn't say that for 15 years. You can say it now.
Hot take.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, more on who is absolutely killing it in NBA free agency. It's not just the Knicks. That's next, Fox.